This is Deanna Spingola. It is Saturday, August 25th, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is Bare Bones Broadcasting. My guest today is John Kaminsky. He has three websites. The most recent one, and probably the most up-to-date one, is therebel.org/blog/Kaminsky. And then, of course, there's johnkaminsky.info and then resist.com/Kaminsky/KaminskyConnection.html. And I will link all of those.
Thank you. On the page.
All righty. You've written some very interesting articles recently. Well, you've written some interesting articles since you started doing this. But I particularly like Hollow Point Horror, and do you want to talk about that?
Sure, I want to talk about that, because there's no way out of that. There's no excuse for the government to be ordering Hollow Point ammunition and then saying it's for target practice, and they've ordered millions of rounds, and departments of the government who shouldn't even be concerned about bullets or ordering bullets, and all of this conjures up a scenario where the government is already has a plan in place to shoot the American people, and I don't really know what to do about that or think about that, except that it's right in line with everything we have been saying for a long time, that the government doesn't represent the people. The government represents this cadre of central bankers who control the whole world at this point by money. And, I mean, we could go into a long conversation about decisions based on money, but nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to believe it. When you do everything based on money, all you wind up is an abomination of whatever effort you're making, because it's – you know, I've been having this argument all my life with various people. It started out with my father when I was a teenager, who told me the only thing that mattered in this world was money. And I rejected that. This was back during the Vietnam War, and we were arguing about that, too. Why were we over there? Nobody really knows to this day. So everything has been perverted by money. The families have been destroyed. Nations have been destroyed. And that's the way the world runs. And if it continues to run that way, it's not going to run much longer.
Right. Now you said that certain government agencies had ordered these hollow points. What agencies are those?
Well, Homeland Security, of course. The creation of George W. Bush in 2001, where he came in and rearranged the whole federal government and developed this whole new department, and headed by, well, it wasn't headed by Michael Chertoff originally. They found a Gentile to, an alleged Gentile to...
Who's that, Tom Ridge?
Yeah, to head it early on. But this is a, I mean, the whole thing is a Jewish production, as we know. You know, one of the things I wanted to get into was, and this is somebody else's story, I shouldn't really be talking about it, but... The provocative writer Lasha Darkmoon.
Oh, yes.
Came out with her Masters of Porn series story the other day. And in that story is a link to a chapter of Kevin McDonald's Culture of Critique, chapter 4. And it's very long and very complex. And I read the whole thing, but it's the history of the psychiatric movement, or the psychoanalytic movement, in the United States. And what we're facing now is they're running the country. That philosophy is running the country, and it's totally artificial. The whole science of psychoanalysis, as Kevin McDonald describes it, and as I perceive it, is an artifice, and it's all about the Jews. It's all about changing the way people think, which has happened, So we have science, science masquerading as politics. The whole psychoanalytic movement is a Jewish movement to get people to think the way Jews think. And when we, that's a very large subject, but when we think about that, that's not the way we want to be. I'm trying to find that link now online here. It's Freud. Freud started this whole thing, and Freud was an ardent Zionist.
Oh, absolutely. He was also a dope addict. He was in medical school at the time that one of his friends died, and they were talking amongst themselves about the friend's death, and he devised this scheme at that point in time talking to some authority figure or some what would later be a psychiatrist, helped people to feel better. But not only did it help people to feel better, the psychiatrist could actually change the morality of their patients by simply saying, oh, yes, everybody has those kinds of feelings, and those are normal, they're natural, and you should go ahead and act on those feelings, no matter what they are. And so it helped to people to abandon their values, and this has become very predominant. And of course now they've mixed all of these drugs in it from this pharmaceutical company who's making huge profits and advertising on TV and devising things that you know, diseases or mental conditions that everybody has naturally, but they're saying, oh, there's a pill for this. If you feel like this, just go to your doctor and ask for this. So it has expanded tremendously.
And now the latest one, oppositional defiance. I always get this wrong. ODD, oppositional defiance disorder, is what they're calling it. And that is, I think it's called the DSM. It's the sorry, my brain's not completely turned on yet. The diagnostic manual of psychiatry now has 379 mental diseases in it. And one of the ones that has been added recently is oppositional defiance disorder. And that is the very pretense that they used to arrest that Marine the other day, Brandon Robb, who posted on Facebook what he thought about the government. Unfortunately, he's a Marine, so they spirited him off to a mental hospital, and luckily he just got ordered to be released by a judge the other day. But this is it's like they're regimenting us into thinking only one way. And the reason that they're doing that and the reason that they're able to do that is because all of these false flag things that they've done over the years, and I mean the whole 20th century was all about false flag stuff, but ever since 9/11, they've added all these new diseases, and they are...
Are you taking a pill?
No, but I'm rattling a pill bottle.
Is that just for sound effects to emphasize what you're talking about?
Well, it was absent-minded. Is what it was. I have a toothache, and I have a bottle of ibuprofen nearby.
Oh, okay. I guess that's acceptable.
That's good. I didn't realize they would pick it up. But, yes, I was doing it for emphasis. My hand was pounding down.
Before we go on with that, okay. Tell us the other two agencies that purchase these hollow points. Because these other two agencies, you just have to ask yourself, what in the world would they have anything whatsoever to do with bullets to begin with?
No, I'm going to have to find that story.
Okay, it's just the Social Security Administration?
Yeah, I think that was one of them.
And the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration? What the heck? What are they using bullets for?
Thank you for finding them. I have no clue. These people have not been involved in any kind of law enforcement. But I think they're expecting, and they should be expecting, and we should be doing it. They are expecting an all-out onslaught by the American citizenry on the government, because more and more people are waking up to these crimes they're committing against their own people. And this bespeaks who really runs the country. The country is not run by Americans anymore, and we know who's running it.
Right. Well, it hasn't been for a very, very long time. I say, you know, right after the Civil War, the whole structure of the government was altered.
That's
what who said?
Eustace. That's what Eustace Mullen said. Oh, no, that's what Ezra Pound said.
Yeah.
I can't find that story.
I talk about that in my first book and give all the details. But, going back to the psychiatric foundation and Freud or fraud, I guess. I mean, that's very interesting. And that is basically how this started out. And it was their intention to since the late 1700s, to alter everyone's perceptions, to think the way they did. And actually, when you get right down to it, everyone does, except the astute minority, people like yourself, who are really asking questions, who are skeptical about everything they hear. I mean, if you look at your own family and evaluate them and figure out, okay, which members of my family actually buy into what they hear on TV? Which members actually believe in allopathic medicine? Which members actually believe that they are having a choice when they go to the voting booths? The majority of people, even though there's a lot of people waking up, there's quite a majority that still buy into all of this stuff.
You don't have to tell me that. I'm the only one in my family who knows something's wrong. Nobody else. We've been taught not to question. And we get object lessons about this every day from the government, where if we question the way things are going, we're penalized in some way or another. We're either hauled off to a mental institution, or we lose our job, or we suffer other financial penalties, or we're killed or made sick. This is Skinnerian behavior shaping is what it is, and it's getting more and more heavy-handed. And of course you can criticize the government as long as people aren't listening, or not many people are listening. But once you pass a certain point and attract a crowd, you're going to attract the attention of the government, because the philosophy seems to be that they're going to make us think the way they want us to think, or they're going to dispose of us.
Certainly. That's why they have to get rid of very popular people who already have an audience. For instance, Pat Tillman or someone like that.
Yep.
They've got to get rid of these people. And a Marine. What better source than someone who has been to the Middle East, to Afghanistan or to Iraq, and has seen what is going on? They're going to have credibility. So, of course, they're going to whisk him off to the nearest hospital.
Well, it's like everybody's been taught not to really challenge anything because of these penalties. And the accumulation of this philosophy over time has really led us down this path. It's why all of the false flag events of the 90s and the first decade of the 21st century have been, they're all false. The wars are false. And that's the thing, you know, I keep saying it, you keep saying it, everybody on our side keeps saying it. This is an artificial reality that we have got ourselves stuck into. And until we realize that the entire Congress, the last whole bunch of presidents we've had, and all of the government, all of the people who are elected, who have been elected, who follow along, they're all working against us. They're all participating in a plot to put the American people in prison. And the American people are in a thought prison right now. You only have to look at the mainstream media to see the falsehoods they perpetrate. The supposed killing of Osama bin Laden is the latest big one. Now they're having books and movies come out about it. A Navy SEAL has written supposedly a tell-all book, and the event never happened because Osama's been dead for 10 years.
Right. And you know, Fox News announced that in December, I think it was December 27th of 2001. And yet people are so lackadaisical, or they don't remember. They just listen to the latest thing. And don't recall. Well, hey, didn't Fox News announce that he was dead back in 01? And of course, they have to have a movie about it, because Hollywood, like every other entity, is also in bed with this criminal cabal that's running the earth.
Yeah, and I think really the worst part about it is they're teaching it in the schools, so that the history these kids grow up with is going to be this artificial history. But we can't blame it on this generation, because we've pretty much suffered through that throughout the entire 20th century.
Oh, sure. When the foundations took over the educational apparatus, they decided what was taught, and particularly the history. Because if you don't understand your history and have a false sense of what your history is, then you're not going to understand what is going on today. And so the history basically is taught, and most historians or history teachers were taught to teach according to what the American Historical Association disseminated. And that was devised by the Rockefeller Foundation, and they regulate domestic education, while the Carnegie Foundation dominated international education. So the first objective was to alter the way that instructors taught history, and they gave out all of these scholarships and fellowships. And they funded all of these U.S. history students who were seeking doctoral degrees. And then these students, after they were indoctrinated, formed the nucleus of the American Historical Association, which was founded by Andrew D. White. And then all of a sudden you have what people believe is history. Now, I've had some history professors on my program. And, oh, my gosh, it's pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic. I had one guy on recently who wrote a book about Eisenhower. And the first day that it was out, I mean the very first day that it was out, he had 25 reviews on Amazon. Now, please, people, you know, that is just not really reality. It isn't probable unless he passed out his book to 25 CIA agents or 25 people to write a review before the book even came out. But I asked him, I said, well, how was it that Eisenhower participated in the assassination of General Patton? And he said, well, General Patton wasn't assassinated. He got into an automobile accident. And Eisenhower had nothing to do with that. And then I believe I brought up the subject of Eisenhower's death camps in Germany. This guy was totally clueless. So the people themselves, the history teachers and the teachers themselves, are taught false dogma and false concepts. And so when they go out and teach children, they're just as ignorant as the kids are going to be. And it was all designed that way over 100 years ago.
I have an example of that much closer to home. My older brother has a PhD in economics. And he was the head of the department in Northern Illinois University for 21 years. And he's retired now. He lives in the same town I do in Florida. And I asked him one day if he knew about the Federal Reserve. And he said, what do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Did you educate him?
He had. No, I'm not able to make any inroads with my family. My family's completely unconscious, or pretty much unconscious. My older sister, despite her being trapped in her evangelical religion, has some idea, but still refuses to admit that Muslims didn't do 9/11.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, Just if you just even think about it and put some logic to it, how could 19 people with box cutters make the U.S. military stand down? How could these people attack the so-called greatest nation on the face of the planet, the most militarized nation? How could they do this? How could they get the U.S. government to go along with this? Because if you look at the history a year before, during that year, weren't there like 67 incidences where a plane got off course and the military responded?
Immediately, yeah.
And so how come they didn't respond that day? I mean, it's just using logic. But the problem is there's so much propaganda, and there's And it's so pervasive. You hear it on every single television channel. You hear it on every single radio program in the regular media and, well, sometimes in the alternative media, because we have a lot of infiltration in the alternative media. So people just simply are not thinking anymore. I don't know whether they've drank too much fluoridated water, or whether they're just too distracted, or whether is it just that they're too brainwashed and they just have lost the ability to draw their own conclusions? I don't get it.
Well, I don't get it either, and I've been investigating the reasons why, and there are many influences. Fluoride is one, TV is another. I was struck by a line from somebody the other day that America was really a beautiful country until TV took hold. And that took everybody off the streets. That destroyed all the community activities. That destroyed knowing your neighbors. And TV was the main instrument of bringing us into this artificial reality that we're now trapped in, where we're forced to believe the lies the government tells us, or we're not only ostracized, but we're penalized, if not eliminated. And now, we see so many attacks on the American people by their own government to regiment them into standardized followers of these lies.
Right. Well, I don't call it programming for nothing.
I've been saying a lot, if not constantly, that everything since 9/11 that the government has done has been a lie based on that pretext, the wars and all the security measures that have been taken in this country, which has led us to really a new low point the other day. Talk about announcements to the American people. The hollow point bullets was one thing, but this shootout by the Empire State Building, where the cops were after somebody who killed their boss that they were disgruntled with, saw him running down the street and just started firing away until they got him, and they also injured. I mean, this is 34th Street in New York City. So 9 people were injured, seriously injured by gunshots from the police. So that's telling the American people that no matter where you are on the street, if the cops are after somebody they don't like, they're going to shoot anybody who's around them and just call that collateral damage. I expect that excuse is going to be used a lot more in the coming years or coming days. I don't know that we have any years left.
Well, isn't that what they do on a massive scale in Iraq and Afghanistan? Oh, we were after this bad guy, and, well, we blew up this village.
It is the same thing. And somebody was talking to me the other day about people who use the term whatever, where you try to explain something to them, like 9/11 or any of the other atrocities, and they don't have the patience or interest to deal with it, and they say, oh, whatever, which means that they don't care really about anything. And that is the attitude of the American people now. You know, the stuff we've been doing for a long time to try to alert people to some of the things that are going on, people really... I guess they're overloaded. They're prevented from thinking by other stimuli, by other practices that they do. But this American tendency to say, oh, I can't control what the government does, has become so widespread that the government took that as a green light to do anything. That's why all the false flag operations have been becoming more frequent and becoming more severe. And they have read the American people throughout the 20th century and realized that they can get away with anything. So because their cover is protected by the media that they own, nobody, unless they put forth significant effort to understand the motivations behind the news, we've sunk deeper and deeper into what I like to call artificial reality that has been proposed and implemented by Jewish sources that make us hate Muslims, that make us hate anybody who disagrees with the status quo and makes us ostracize them and makes us participate in this, what would you call it, this deception.
Right. Well, you brought up the fact that we used to talk with our neighbors up until the time that television became such a big fascination in our lives. And now we don't talk to anybody, but then you have to consider the economic situation in the country where so often both spouses, both the husband and the wife, are compelled to work in order to make enough money to feed their families and keep a roof over their head. And then when they do get home, you know, they have children to care for, and then they are simply too exhausted to investigate this. To investigate or to look further, and they are living an artificial life. It reminds me of that movie, which I saw parts of, with I can't even think of the guy's name. He's real Jim Carrey. He was in this the television show or the where.
Yeah, they filmed him all over the place.
Right, and a floodlight fell, and then he realized that he was part of this set, and that this wasn't really life. But people just simply don't understand. And then you have a lot of people who are on medications, where their intellect is just not there. It's not operating at full capacity, And you couple that with their education and the programming and their allegiances. I mean, we were all taught in school that we had to pledge allegiance to the flag, and the flag is representative of the U.S. government. So basically, we were all taught to pledge allegiance to the government. And so, you know, we can't speak against the government, or we can't talk about the war being unjust, because isn't that un-American? So this has been going on for a very, very long time. And even false flags have been going on for a very long time. And with each one, the government takes more of our liberties. They impose more control over us. And that is the process of going from of creating chaos in order to build a new Jew world order.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of the things that got my attention in that Kevin McDonald chapter that I mentioned was that nobody today realizes that the things Freud said when he first became famous were all not scientific things. They were, I mean, it sounds paranoid to say it was a Jewish plot, but it was a Jewish plot because Freud was a Zionist. And this emphasis on sexual addiction and premarital sex probably did more to destroy the fabric of all societies in every country than anything else, because sex is a real attractor, and the Jewish media have turned the large majority of the population into sex addicts, where they expect to find security by escaping into sex. And this is encouraged by, you know, down through time, the 20th century, Darkmoon talked about Kinsey and Reich, who were both insane perverts. The Jews used them to establish this insane drive for perversion. I mean, it's the main ethos of American culture now. You only have to open a magazine and look at the ads. It's all about sex.
All right. And, of course, the Rockefeller Foundation funded the research efforts of Kinsey, who basically created some junk science and instigated the family-destroying moral metamorphosis of America. I mean, he was... and then couple that with the American Law Institute, which was created in 1923, where they really wanted to alter the American the legal system, the penal code. And when you look behind the curtain, so to speak, all of this was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. Yep. And it decreased criminal accountability for criminal predators. And you could go back to the Marquis de Sade, who was also morally compromised. He was a pedophile and all kinds of things. And where he was vilified and actually imprisoned, Kinsey was funded and created this whole new science, so-called. And then his books, he sent his books to many of the doctors in the country, and the media also promoted his, you know, wonderful findings. And so you had the legitimization of homosexual behavior by the doctors, by the medical establishment, and then you bring in Hollywood to promote these, or, you know, produces these movies. And what do you have? You have a skewed, you know, America. I mean, you've destroyed the American family.
Pretty much has been done already. I think the best example of this is Bernays back in the 20s, where he engineered the public relations campaign that enabled, they killed two birds with one stone, really. They made a significant, let me get a little breath here.
Well, Bernays was Freud's nephew.
I know, but he combined women's liberation with smoking.
Right.
Was the big thing. So he got everybody to smoke and made that a symbol of liberation, which is kind of what has happened to America. We have been lured into pursuing these things that do damage to ourselves. And it is presented to us like communism, too. It is presented to us as liberation when, in fact, it's exactly the opposite. That's why Freud on the boat to America has the famous quote about what he was bringing to America. He said, "We're bringing them the plague, and right now we're in the grip of that plague."
Exactly. And then you look at Gloria Steinem. Talking about, liberation and actually doing damage to ourselves. She was behind the abortion movement. I mean, she started in the 60s with the women's movement, her and Betty Friedan, both Jews, and Bella Abzug. And within 8 years, you had the Supreme Court, the stacked Supreme Court, saying it was okay for women to kill their babies, and now we have 56 million dead. And they call that liberation. Well, when Stalin did that, they called it genocide.
Yeah. We've been led down the wrong road, and the directions have been provided to us by Jews with money.
Yes, and Rockefeller, I read an article recently, that's a Jewish family.
Yep. Yep, it sure is. They're Muranos.
Yep.
Yeah. So, we're trapped because the majority of the American people have believed what they've been told, that they tried to be good Americans. Being a good American means you're going to look the other way at mass murder and all these other perversions, and if you challenge what's going on, you're going to be punished. Anyway, the hollow point, the hollow point matter is an unmistakable sign that the government is going to, very soon, start a new kind of outreach, where they're going to go around openly killing people. I mean, they're already doing it in a sneaky kind of way, but it is open on the American people. I mean, there are so many influences aimed at diminishing our lives and doing away with us because I think the basis of it goes back to that fake 1972 Club of Rome report, which is an entirely Jewish operation, where they said the world needs to have only, I forget how many it was, half a billion people in it. Now that we have 7 billion, that's a lot of people to be eliminated. So that's why we have all these programs going on. And they all tie back to Freud and the monster that he unleashed, which is... do anything you want, and it's good, leads to everything becoming bad, because that's not the way healthy life can be maintained. You have to have some discipline. You have to postpone gratification. You have to realize that sex is not the purpose of life. It is in one sense, but only in the reproductive sense. And that has been changed into escaping from reality through sex, which means that the people who are promoting that philosophy can get away with anything because everybody has become so sexually oriented.
Well, look who runs the pornographic magazines. I mean, if you look at what was Playboy, and I don't know some of the others, but and I think that they run the sex slave trafficking and all kinds of things. But this this goes back to, I mean, look at the institutions that they've had, the people who have backed this depopulation thing, and this is goes back quite a ways. I mean, you're, even H.G. Wells, back in 1905, he published a book, A Modern Utopia, and he you know, he said, and he also published a pamphlet, The Open Conspiracy, Blueprints for a World Revolution. And the main features of this was control over the world's natural resources, reducing world population by means of war, and replacing a multipolar world order consisting of sovereign nations with a one world dictatorship. So they always write about these things. And, of course, we have the Protocols of the Lurid Elders of Zion. They have written about this. They promote their, well, they don't promote it, but they certainly write about it. And yet people don't read what they're reading, or maybe, I don't know, novels or I don't know, self-help books. I'm not sure. But they're not reading the really the essential things that would let them know about what's happening to them.
Yeah. We got to cut. We have to cut to the chase, though, and to the present day, because now we have. It's pretty certain that the next election will give us our last president. Everything else after that is going to be I mean, it is a dictatorship now, but it's going to be a much clearer dictatorship, where we're heading toward a point where all dissent will not be tolerated, where you have to agree with the lies that they're telling you, or you're going to lose your life.
Right. Well, you have a Marxist and you have a Zionist. I mean, you.
That's right. That's right. It's a tremendous trap that we're in. Everybody who doesn't have a lot of money. You know, I was surprised to hear that the median American income now was $70,000, and I don't know if I trust that figure, because I don't think I know anybody who makes $70,000. And all of these athletes and entertainers and politicians make millions of dollars a year. So there's been a tremendous separation in America where the majority of the people don't make that much money, and a small percentage of the people make a tremendous amount of money and treat everybody else as their slaves, and that's the way that that's exactly the way the Jews want it.
Sure, and there's such it is so apparent that the media does not talk about the people who are unemployed, who have lost their homes, who are living under bridges, living in their cars, and unemployment is double digit. Where do all these people go when we see plants closing, when we see GM instigating 11 plants in China in the last 10 years? Where are all the people who used to work for GM? Where do they work now? Do they have a job? Where are they? And we've had these forgotten people. And we never hear about them. Of course we never hear about them. We never hear what's really vital on the news. I don't know why people even watch news or read the newspaper, because it's all propaganda, lies, and deceit.
Well, I spent a lot of time in the newspaper business, and I eventually left it because you're simply unable to tell the truth in newspapers. I kept running into that. I kept butting heads with my own publisher. I've said many times that a reporter's worst enemy is his own publisher, because he has to protect his financial sources. And the minute we go to the money issue, and in my opinion, this is what has ruined society. I don't know an alternative system, but this has definitely ruined society. Money takes the quality out of everything.
Sure it does.
And we have really forgotten how to live. We've forgotten what's important because of money, because we have accepted the Jewish philosophy that if you have enough money, you can do anything you want. But getting that money proves to be a serious problem when you're not Jewish. If you are Jewish, it's not that much of a problem, because you're plugged into a network that is it's a subversive network. That's why I keep saying this isn't an American problem. This is a worldwide problem. Every country has this problem where they make money the goal of their life because it has such immediate rewards. But the long-term implications of that totally eliminate any kind of truthful behavior, because you're always tailoring what you say to make money. And I remember a famous quote from my youth. I've been writing a long time now, and when I was a teenager, I read across a quote by, I believe it was Robert Lowell, a poet of the early 20th century, who said, the minute you write something to make money, it's not going to be any good, because you're only trying to make money instead of tell the truth. And that's really the dividing line, is if you do something for money, it's not the truth.
Well, you can apply that to the medical profession, because doctors now, because of the American Medical Association and because of the licensing boards, can't tell their patients the truth about their disease, or they will lose their license. And they, like the teachers that are teaching in the colleges, have been taught those same principles that, you know, if you can't poison somebody or use pharmaceutical drugs or, you know, cut, poison, burn when you're talking about a cancer patient, then that's it. That's the limit of your policies and your practice with your patients, that you have to use certain procedures. And so basically they're just managing people's illnesses, and it's all about money. People stay in the profession because they put all this time into going to school, and they're kind of locked into the system. And if they step outside of it, they lose all that time. They lose their money. It's all, like you say, about money. So it's not about, you know, really telling the truth or really helping your patients or really doing the right thing. It's about making sure that you have your house and your car and your boat and you can send your kids to college.
So right now we have a great example of our new police state being staged in Tampa, where all the streets are blocked off, and the Republicans are trying to figure out a way to keep Ron Paul from making much noise at the convention. I suspect that he's going to have something to say, but ever since I read that Clint Richardson story about the futility of his End the Fed legislation.
It's ridiculous. End the Fed? And then what?
He's one of them.
Of course he's one of them. He would be dead if he wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I think that's right. So we're being shaped into this robot state, and it's happened throughout the 20th century, where all the wars have been false. That's the thing that that a lot of old duffers can't get a grip on, that because they're so proud of their participation in World War II or whatever war, believing in the in what the government told them. And we have come down this long slide that has been built for us by Jews in order to enslave us. And I don't want to say nobody's waking up to it. One of the things that worries me most now is the alternative media, which is pretty much just like the mainstream media. It's been captured by Jews, and they never mention Jews. Nobody ever mentions Jews. It's still taboo.
Oh, and I mention them all the time.
Of course you do, but I'm talking about their team, not ours.
Okay.
I'm talking about 90% of the American population is just going along to get along, and that is ultimately a dead end because it's about exploitation and enslaving us. I said back along the trail, I forgot. We've opened up too many things here.
I know. It's easy to do because you want to get everything covered, and it's impossible because when you look into every facet of our lives, there's going to be the Jewish influence. It doesn't matter where you look, whether you're looking at, you know, whatever, the military industrial complex, they're behind it. All the warfare, that's how they make money. It's a big money maker. Bernard Baruch made $50 million just in World War I, and he was also a consultant to Roosevelt. I mean, these people have always run the government since before World War I. They were running things. They started running things. People use historical figures, Andrew Jackson. Oh, what a great guy he was. He wanted to end the bank, and he was wonderful. Well, baloney. He had a deal with the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds in London. In fact, after he ended the second bank, and because of the big financial depression there and the things that he did, and because he made a deal with the Rothschilds to be the correspondent bank for the United States. One of the Rothschild minions here in this country sent a painting of General Jackson all decked out in his uniform to the Rothschilds in London. Look what we did. We got Jackson, and that's in the Rothschild archives. I mean, he was no hero, for Pete's sake. He's the one that changed the financial center from Philadelphia to New York, which is where the Jews were. He handed all of the money that was in the second bank of the United States to his buddies. And then they speculated. And then people who were dependent upon the government, the bank, the second bank of the United States for their pensions, and the people who were the common people, they lost a lot of money. But nobody talks about that. In the alternative media, you have all these people who are saying, oh, what a great guy he was. Well, he was in charge of the Trail of Tears, the Cherokee Trail of Tears.
Right.
He made 70 deals with the indigenous population, treaties. I mean, he made more treaties with the Indians than any other president. And he was basically just carrying out the deportation of the Native Americans that Jefferson created. I mean, it's always been corrupt, ever since day one.
Yeah, but we need to...
I know we need to come forward, but if you get rid of these myths, and then you really begin to understand, hey, dang, we got a problem. We've always had a problem,
yep.
and we better darn well get around to fixing it.
Well, we have to understand that our leaders are criminals, not working for the American people. They're working for their bosses who allow them to run if they toe the line.
Absolutely.
So we have all candidates screen through the same filter, and that filter is to allow any crime possible as long as it makes money. That's where we're at. The real question is, what do we do now? And I see no alternative to. It's like every public official in America has to resign and be replaced by somebody else. Now the question is, what if the people who replace the corrupt leaders who are somehow evicted from their positions, is it going to be any different? And I think at this point in time, it's not going to be any different. So there's no way out now. We're on a collision course with our own beliefs. that are eventually, I mean, we've destroyed other people all over the world, and this behavior is now going to destroy us ourselves because we are unable or unwilling to confront the lies that we've been told. And living our lives on the basis of these lies is a definite, I've been saying this for so long, it's a definite road to destruction, and we're on it, and the forces arrayed supposedly to combat this have been totally misled and totally infiltrated by the very people causing the problems.
Right, and it's unfortunate. It's terrible, but we still have some autonomy in our own lives to make decisions that are good for us. We can choose how to react to this evil that we see. I don't know whether we can do anything on a big, massive scale, because there's, I believe, still too few people who understand what is going on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Now, if we were a small country like Iceland and had unification, but we live in a multicultural society imposed on us by the Jews.
Yep.
who have been in charge of our immigration laws for at least 100 years, we cannot unify. We're such a diverse community of people that there's no unification. So we can't do what Iceland did. We can't do what Hitler did in Germany. We can't do what Libya did. And look what happened to Libya. And of course, all of the enemies of the Jews are attacked by the U.S. government because we happen to be the military force for the Jew world order.
And we can't vote them out because voting is an empty exercise.
Oh, yes.
First of all, we don't have any candidates. All the candidates have been vetted by the Jews and made sure they're on board. And even if there were a candidate, even if Ron Paul were a real candidate, he wouldn't win the election because the elections... I can't believe nobody other than Christopher Boland, I saw one little piece by him, but nobody has really analyzed the shenanigans of the primary elections in which none of the votes were counted honestly.
Oh, right. And it's been going on for quite some time, particularly since they've been doing it with computer-generated votes. I mean, you don't have paper ballots anymore. But this... You know, it is not the first time that we've had this situation where you've had a third candidate like Ron Paul. You mentioned Ron Paul. That's just to split the vote. That like Ross Perot back in 92. That was just a big sham. It was just, was it 92? I think it was 92. And you had Teddy Roosevelt back in the.
Yeah, that was a big one because that
got Wilson elected. So you have all these; it's all so orchestrated. The whole system is corrupt. I mean, we're not even supposed to have political parties if you really get right down to it. What is a republic? A republic is the government that is just exactly what we have. And republics, we've all been trained to think, oh, a republic is a wonderful thing. No, a republic is usually the kind of government that the Jews can best operate under.
I read an interesting thing about runoff elections the other day, too. I didn't really understand what the logic was behind that procedure. But to have a bunch of candidates running and then have the top two have to go at each other. If none of them receives more than 50%, they have a runoff election, and the top two vote getters from the first election get us to run against each other. Well, that's a way to eliminate all of the splinter opposition and make sure the top two are both on the Jewish ticket, so nobody has any real choice. So voting is out. It doesn't get anything done.
It's a sham that gives people the illusion that they have a choice.
That's right. That's right.
So now, I think everyone should stay home.
Well, if nobody voted at all, that would...
They would still have a pretend election and give you the results on Fox News.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So how do we get out of this? That's something you're supposed to ask me.
Okay, how do we get out of this, John?
We have to take every... No public official in the United States, no matter how idealistic they pretend to be, is really being honest. You have to agree with the government's false story about 9/11 in order to even get into mainstream political debate. And so that means you have to accept the lie of the artificial reality that has been created for us. And we need to stop accepting that lie, because it's a lie.
Right.
Unless we want to live a lie. I think the general intellectual level of the American people now is that they don't care whether it's a lie or not, as long as they have enough goodies to keep them satisfied. But you have to go back to, again, you have to go back to Freud and say, what is it that satisfies us? And we have been taught and conditioned to accept all of these false things as measures of our satisfaction, when they're really not. The only satisfaction that we should be looking for, or the principal satisfaction that we should be looking for, is the rearing of healthy children. That's what stabilizes society. McDonald used a phrase on that, and I'm not sure I can remember it, but it's about getting healthy families and having long-term relationships. And the whole Freudian tangent of society is to destroy those relationships, to destroy those principles.
And pretty, right.
They've pretty much been destroyed. The society has been atomized. We're all alienated. Nobody trusts anybody else. And that's just they've got us where they want us, and now they're going to deal with us as they wish to deal with us, which is to kill most of us. When you talk about communism and Judaism, the main purpose of Lenin in the Soviet Union, Lenin and Trotsky both agreed, they didn't agree on everything, but they agreed on one thing, that the main policy when the communists took over Russia was nothing more complex than killing as many people as possible. And that is the Jewish philosophy. I don't really care about the feelings of the Jews at this point, but you'll get Jewish people saying, oh, that's unfair to say about us. But it's not, because that's been their hallmark over time, and it is manifested now in the wars that the United States is prosecuting, where, just like those cops on the New York street, they kill as many people as possible or injure as many people as possible just to get the object of their attention. Apparently, this guy needed to be brought down since he shot his boss on the street, but all of those other people who got shot by the police while the police were trying to catch that guy, they are our newest examples of collateral damage, where and it's almost as if the crime itself becomes a non-essential matter. It's the enforcement of the law becomes the real crime, because it kills so many innocent.
Right. Now, you know, one of the guests I had on this week, Dr. Carolyn Dean, said that we have to really devise our own lifestyle. We have to devise our own reality. And you brought that up too, that we have to raise our children with a good value system. If my children were young, I would be homeschooling them. I would be teaching them accurate history. They would not get vaccinated. They would not watch TV. You have to, because we cannot change everybody. We only have the power to change ourselves. And the other thing with the dysfunctioning family, you have the schools taking more and more time, and then after school you have all of these silly sports activities.
Yep.
And we have parents running from here to there. All their children have to play soccer. They all have to do this and that. And I would rein in all of those activities and have a family-centered home. And I think that's, you know, we cannot change other people. We can change ourselves and our reaction to what is going on.
And the only way to do that is to decentralize everything. This whole trend toward standardization and corporatization and conglomeration, it has taken us away from ourselves. You can't standardize humans.
No, you cannot.
Decentralization is the answer. Because you can solve a problem in your own town a lot easier than you can solve a problem in your own country. And that has been completely taken away from us. When I wrote a story about a town meeting I'd been to a long time ago where it was just a sham because the people couldn't really vote on everything. The budget was already determined by the laws that had been sent down to us by the federal government, and we couldn't change a thing about it. So we lost control of everything. The Jews have been very brilliant, actually, in subverting society to their own ends. And that is the main thing that people have to realize. And we still get this tremendous resistance about talking about Jews. Oh, how can you talk about those people who have suffered so much? They brought on their own suffering. They deliberately brought on their own suffering to give them an advantage for the crimes that they commit.
Right. And it does start down at the very, very local level, whether you're trying to run for a committee chairperson or precinct chairperson. Everything is pretty, you know, the local leaders are really attached to the state leaders. The state leaders are attached to the federal government. It's all very centralized, as you said.
But we're not going to make any progress toward this unless we have millions of people on our side, and right now we don't, because everybody's trapped in their own little piece of artificial reality where they've made peace with the fact that they don't have control over their lives, and they're just trying to get what they can. That's why I've tried to be as ridiculously idealistic as I can over time, because there's nothing in the mainstream media, or very little in the alternative media, that promotes idealism, where we want to live our lives the way we want to live them. And the government prevents us from doing that. And the increase in that pressure over time has left, there's nothing left of the American people. They're all hemmed in and prevented from even thinking by these prescriptions that come from our doctors and our teachers and our government that we have to obey them or suffer the consequences. And right now we're not in control of anything. We're being swept.
I think we can have some measure of control in our own lives. We can say, no, I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to go to the doctor when I have the sniffles. I'm going to take care of my own health. I'm going to accept responsibility for my own health. I'm going to accept responsibility for raising my own children and teaching them the values that I want them to have. We do have a measure of autonomy in the decisions that we make, but we just have to unlink ourselves from these authoritarian figures, the figures that have been placed in our lives, teachers, doctors, politicians, newsmen, whatever. We just have to unlink ourselves from that and seize back our independence.
Boy, that's hard. That's hard for all the people who are unemployed and who are depending upon the government dole.
Oh, and that is so deliberate. That is so deliberate, John. I mean, with the so-called free trade agreements, that stinking government really gave all of our jobs overseas. They outsourced all production. They insourced labor. What is going on with the job situation is absolute. These people ought to be hanged for treason.
At least, that's the minimum. God, I can't follow all the things we've said. We brought up so many topics, but the main thing, the last option and the most important option left to us to regain some measure of autonomy over our lives is recognizing the Jewish influence has brought all these bad things to us. It's not only created all the wars, it's not only developed all the poisons that are passed off as beneficial to us. It's the Jewish inversion of values that Nietzsche talked about. Again, going back to Freud and that McDonald's story, that's based on unreal information. Freud's examples that he used as evidence of one affliction or another, it was all fiction. He didn't get that from his patients. He made it up.
Sure. Just like Kinsey made stuff up, just like a lot of people make stuff up.
Right.
And
Kinsey interviewed the whores on the streets of Gary, Indiana, and collated the data and said it was derived from a survey of American housewives.
Right. And he also interviewed people who were in prison for sex crimes.
Right.
Pretty skewed.
We got a big sex crime going on. It's in the media big time, and it's in the minds of young people big time, where you've got elementary school students being taught about homosexuality.
Ah, disgusting. That's,
it's hard to get more perverse than that. So the Jews have dragged us into a sewer of their own design and are expecting us to love it. This is their idea of the New World Order and world peace. And,
yeah.
And you know, most people you talk to about this do not know what you're talking about. The American,
oh, I know.
American people have been driven to a level of ignorance that is just appalling. And it's, you know, it's like television is probably the biggest part of it, where when you turn on the television, it's all court shows. Where you go before a judge over some trivial matter and the judge decide. And this further reinforces the American people into not thinking for themselves and learning to accept the
authoritarian decisions.
Learning to accept the words of the judge as words to be lived by. And on a wider level, I made this observation back in the 70s that Americans were becoming more like characters on a TV sitcom, where the only thing that counted was a joke and a flip response to everything. And in the millions of hours that people spend watching television, they get these ideas ingrained in their heads. And that's why we're no longer actualized people. We're playing off the stimuli that the mind controllers have given us, and we have completely lost sight of the things that make us healthy and happy. Instead, they have been replaced by addictions provided by the Jews.
Right. Well, I was I had lunch with some friends of mine. It was last December, and we were talking about Christmas and whatnot. And one of my friends said, somehow the Jews came up, and she says, well, it sure isn't the Jews that are our problem. And I'm thinking, are you nuts? We have a giant menorah at the White House. We can't have a Christmas tree, and you're saying that the Jews aren't the problem? What the heck are you thinking? They're not thinking.
No, they're not. They've been just taught to accept what they've been told. It's the herd mentality. Everybody's trying to keep up with the neighbors, and no. I wrote about this sometime back. Until I was 53 years old, I thought there was something in the world that everybody else knew that I didn't know, and that's why I was having difficulty understanding what life was all about. But when I hit 53, the realization hit me like a ton of bricks that nobody knows. Nobody,
right.
Nobody knows what's happening to them. It's been done so subtly and so gradually over time. I mean, this all started a long time ago. It's like we can both recite chapter and verse of the steps that were taken in this process. But we have been made into robots who don't even know what we feel, because all the thoughts in our head have been put there from infancy by people who don't have our best interests at heart. It's all about exploitation. The most popular human activity is exploiting other people, and we are cannibalizing ourselves as a society by following the rules the Jews have given to us.
Right. All you got to do is look at the Talmud and figure out what they're about.
Yeah, that's right. It's a horrible, horrible book.
And of course, the thing that
worries me most now, because it's blocking our escape from this horror, is the media people, the writers and the video producers who don't understand the depth and depravity of Jewish influence.
Well, I think that some people, some writers, some TV producers, or some video makers, they only concentrate on one aspect of something. They only concentrate, for instance, on chemtrails, or they concentrate on one very small aspect rather than looking at the whole scope of what is going on. But I don't know. I got into this. I started writing articles in 2005. And it honestly did not take me that long to figure out that there was something really bigger behind the whole thing. And I parroted some of the same things about Hitler, about the Nazis, about Andrew Jackson. But then I started looking at outside of the setup alternative media, because you understand that they had a 9/11 movement in place before the event, because they knew that there would be people who would be skeptical of the government's version and that these people would ask questions. And so that was all in place. So I have to figure that the alternative media for other situations, for other events, was already in place also. For instance, you know, you've always had a stacked commission, such as the Warren Commission for the JFK assassination. Right. You always have something in place that's going to answer the questions and accommodate the people who really don't want to know anything bad about the government. They want to stay in denial. There are people who don't want to know about these things. But when you really start looking and you start evaluating things on a larger scope, as I did, you're going to run into the truth, darn it. And if you haven't, you're just not looking hard enough, or you're a useless idiot, or an asset, a Jewish asset. If you haven't figured it out within 5 years, there's something wrong with you.
Yes, I went through much the same evolution and made mistakes along the way, which made everybody suspicious about what I was saying. But you're right, 5 years will do it. The thing about 9/11 that it's really the paradigm of 9/11. Once you realize 9/11 was a fake, a false flag operation, you start looking at the other events in American history, and I've come to realize that both world wars were entirely Jewish productions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Aimed at the same thing that they're doing now, which is the total robotization of the population so they can be controlled. Most people can't even approach that idea because, like you say, it takes a long time, and you have epiphany after epiphany, and you say, holy cow, this is the same thing time and again. So that's why I've said over time that nothing has really changed. It's just been accelerated.
Right. And then you mentioned about, the killing in New York the killing in Colorado. But gosh, think about Waco. Think about Ruby Ridge. Think about these other things. And then the people who have been incarcerated for not paying their income tax. I mean, there's always somebody, some example to look at, and you think, gosh, the government killed all those people at Waco? Well, who really raised any objections? Because it was all portrayed on the TV. Oh, well, these guys were strange. These guys were different. And so that means that it's okay to kill people who are different.
That's right.
Even if most of them were children.
Yep.
And if the people didn't raise up then, when are they going to rise up? When are they going to wake up?
there's only one way to do it as far as I'm concerned, and that's why I'm called the one-trick pony all the time, talking about 9-1-1 and the Jews all the time. That is the key. Once you realize that it was a put-up job, then everything else is called into question, and people don't want to do that because you have to give up your entire previous belief system in order to get there. And that, for me, was not that hard to do because I'm an empiricist, and the facts have never added up to what the government is telling us.
Right.
So now we have American parents giving up their children proudly to go be killed for wars that are based on lies. The wars have always been based on lies, and they're Jewish lies. So until we see the danger that Jews have present to society and are practicing on society, we're not going to be able to stop these guys. It's like Romney going to Israel and deliberately breaking the law by accepting presidential campaign contributions from foreign citizens. Of course, we got a problem with the foreign citizenry because the Jews have a free pass on that, where they can be citizens of both countries. And that's why I've said over and over again that dual Israeli-American citizens should be arrested immediately and repo-acted immediately. RICO-acted.
Right. They wouldn't allow it for any other citizen. I mean, they wouldn't. They certainly wouldn't allow dual citizenship for Mexicans and,
It's treason by definition.
Of course it is.
And yet we've been, by the Jewish media, led to believe that, oh, this is, we gave this special privilege to Jews because they were victims of the Holocaust. And we now know, or you and I know, and a small percentage of other people know, that the whatever Jews were killed in concentration camps, which was very few in comparison to the numbers that they throw around, but whatever Jews were killed by Jews themselves for participating in that whole process.
Well, they died of starvation. They died of typhoos. They died of war-related illnesses. There was no extermination program, and it was because of the disruption by the Allied bombing of all the communications networks and all the food production. And anytime you have war, you're going to have people starving to death. You're going to have people dying of diseases, because that's just part of warfare, whether you're talking about the Civil War, whether you're talking about World War I, II, or whatever. People get disrupted. They bomb all these, bomb villages. They bomb fields that should be planted with food that people should eat. And that is just a part of warfare. There's going to be collateral damage. And the Jews know that.
Yeah, that's the purpose of it.
And certainly the Jewish hospital in the middle of Berlin, the people there, Jews, the Jewish patients and the doctors and nurses, were just fine. Nobody perished for want of food. Was just fine.
So what do we do?
I don't know. We have to create our own reality. We have to keep spreading the message. We have to keep educating people. And probably I will do it till the day that we are killed or the day that we die. That's my intention anyway.
Yeah, me too. I get frustrated a lot, but I've never even thought about diverting myself from my goal, which is to wake people up about how America is not controlled by Americans. It hasn't been for a very long time, and the general population needs to get this message and can't get it from mass media because it's all controlled by the Jews. The entire American business community is controlled by Jews. The life of every American is controlled by Jews, and I shudder to think at what's going on in schools now, where this next generation has already been robotized, both medically and psychologically, by these false constructs that the Jews have created us. The central one of which is sexual freedom, turning everybody into sex addicts.
Right. Or debt slaves. I mean, bringing up the issue of school. What about after they graduate from the government high school, then they want to go to college and they have to take out these monstrous loans because parents cannot afford to send their children to school because it costs so much. When you look at the way that costs have risen over the last several decades, you recognize that only a certain percentage of the population can go to school. Otherwise, they incur huge debts that they are never going to pay off. Maybe till they're in their 50s. And what a burden to place on students who, after they graduate, aren't even sure that they can get a job.
No, they can't get a job.
So they are going after everybody. They have targeted everybody. I mean, the animals are targets. You know, when you consider veterinarian, you know, the stuff that they want to inject into pets. I mean, my word. Everything in the United States, everything in the world, I mean, they've just impacted. So why don't we just go eat some chocolate or something? I don't know.
Yeah, or have sex.
Well, I don't think so.
No, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the general philosophy.
Oh, okay.
they make people escape into that, and that prevents them from hearing and seeing what's really going on.
Yes. Yes. What a shame. What a shame.
So, what do we do? We have to decentralize. We have to detach ourselves from the federal government, which is just about impossible in this day and age, and yet that's what we have to do.
Yep.
This whole tendency toward standardization, and there's a word I'm trying to find and I keep missing it. Deregulation, that's it. No, what is it? It's
well, decentralized.
No, it's this whole privatization.
Oh, yeah, where and this has been going on basically. The first major privatization of public properties was the confiscation in 1927 via the Radio Act of 1927 of the public airwaves. So all of a sudden you have companies, corporations that now control the airwaves, the public airwaves, and now that is down to five major corporations, and those five major corporations not only control the information in this country, they also control it worldwide.
Yep, they do. And it's all Jewish.
Yes. So you have to get back to the thing that you have to try and control your own life as best as you can. Try to disassociate from the government schools, from the corporate churches, and from all those things. Try to take the best care of your family that you possibly can. Try to educate them. Try to educate others who will listen. And just make your own decisions that will give you the best life that you possibly can, which means that you take care of your health, you try to take care of your finances. I don't know, other than that.
You got to keep your kids out of school.
Absolutely.
You can't put them into the schools, or they'll become robots.
Of course.
And it takes, you know, I was one of those. I became a robot and was a flag waver when I was young. And
we all were.
Yeah. And but as you read more and more, you see the facts don't line up with what you're actually seeing.
Even if you just think, you know, reading is absolutely essential, but just thinking about it, just common sense. For instance, in the warfare, why would the U.S. government go into a country, well, like Vietnam, Korea? Any of those little countries. Start with the Philippines. The U.S. Yeah. government had no business going into the Philippines.
Nope.
What was that all about?
To control that part of the world.
Exactly. I mean, just thinking about it. There were no threat to us, and we're supposed to be a defensive military operation. No, it's always been offensive. Always, always, always. Why would the North invade the South, and why would 700,000 people die? Just because they wanted to save the Union? How does that work out? I mean, just using common sense. You don't kill a bunch of people in order to bring them democracy. I mean, that's just plain stupid. And anybody that doesn't think about that and ask why, I mean, you just have to wonder what they're sniffing or what they're drinking or what they're inhaling.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but it's what's been put into their heads by their authority figures. And the authority figures have all been, throughout the 20th century, pretty much controlled by Jews. Then the people who try to resist that have been destroyed, had their character assassinated, if not their bodies assassinated. And we've been so misled. You know, going back to 9/11, there's still a majority of the American people who believe Muslims did 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And once you dispel that myth that they had nothing to do with it, except, in fact, probably no Muslims were involved at all, only Israeli Arabs who were posing as Muslim terrorists, that opens up the whole window to American history being false, being put into our minds by the people who control the media, and the people who control the media are Jews. So I take a pretty hardline stance on Jews. They need to be eliminated from government. They need to be eliminated from the professions. And at this point, the disease is so well advanced. Nobody can envision that happening, and yet that's what has to happen, or we're all going to be dead soon.
Well, the U.S. has never had a policy regarding the Jewish people. They've never deported them, although at least 109 other instances of deportation by various countries. Some countries deported them at two or three different times. Our government has never done that. And that is because they got here early. And this was a utopia for them to design the way that they wanted to, which is what they did. And this is what we have. And until the American people figure this out, we're just going to have to make personal decisions for ourselves. I don't know.
But eventually we're going to run out of room. We've just about run out of room now. There's no avenue for redress to any of our problems, because the minute you get into the upper echelons of the legal system, it's completely controlled by Jews at this point, and by Gentiles who have adopted the Jewish message, the Jewish philosophy, where the only thing that counts is how much you can steal from somebody else.
Right. Well, now that we've cheered each other up, John.
I'll go back to my toothache.
You take care of your toothache. For me, I'm going to go eat some chocolate and do some reading.
Yeah.
It's been interesting talking with you, as always.
Well, we got fragmented in the whole spectrum of horrors that are going on now, and we need to put that off to the side, realize what the common theme is in all these plagues that are shortening our lives, and no matter what religion you are, except Jewish, we all need to understand that we have been misled throughout our lifetimes into thinking that the government, who pays so many of us so much money to exist in the form of social programs, that's an addiction that has to be done away with. We're going to have to, in order to live our own lives freely, we're going to have to identify this Jewish virus that has infected our entire society and is destroying our entire society deliberately. We're not going to make any progress. So with the political conventions coming up and the phony candidates who are running for president, these people are not Americans. These people are puppets of the international bankers. Nothing the government says, I was going to say, is true anymore, but probably has never been true. It's all about the exploitation of other people and consolidation of power in the hands of people who are not Americans. America is not controlled by Americans.
Exactly. All righty. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for all the great work and all the great guests you've had. And all we can do is keep on keeping on. I don't have any expectations of winning, but I've learned that the components of winning are not thinking about winning. The components of winning are dependent on us dealing with every situation that arises in a forthright and honest way, despite all of the things that have been put in our way to prevent us from doing that. We still have to do it. We can't give up, because to give up is to give up our lives. And most of the American people have already given up their lives, willingly given up their lives based on the false information that have been put in their brains.
Right. Well, that's a very profound statement to end with. So I thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Deanna.
Have a great day. Oh, wait, that's not a good thing to say anymore.
I can't say that anymore.
No. All right. We got to get that statement out, because that has Jewish meanings, you know.
I know it does. I know all about that. All we got to do is keep on keeping on and think about what's really healthy, and think about how everything the government says is not healthy.
Okay. We'll end with that.
All right.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.